We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Hold on. How's it doing, Anthony? You good, bro?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you bloody well are. ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the one, the only, the Believe You Me podcast with this guy, the victorious Anthony Lionheart Smith, fresh from Brazil. Big smile on his face. I'm excited for this episode. Anthony, good to have you back. Good to have you back in the winner's circle. The floor is yours, brother, and I promise I'm not going to interrupt.
Honestly, Mike, I don't know if there's too much to say. I'm just really excited. It went well. It went well. Like,
God damn, it did.
I probably had the best fight week I've ever had. And I don't know why. It was just... It was different. It was different. I was just hyper-focused. I felt really, really good. And I think that just a full training camp. And I didn't leave any stones unturned. I worked my ass off. I did a bunch of extra traveling, like in between camp, like or during camp. But I took the extra steps to train. I trained my ass off all of UFC 300 week. I went to that wedding in Arizona that I told you guys about, but even when I was there, I drove an hour while I was there to go train with Javier Torres and Waldo Costa Cortez. Like, I really busted my ass. You know, I just did the extra little things and it paid off. I felt really, really good. It was a great week. My weight cut was easy. I had no problems. It was like three sits in the bath and I was on weight. I was on weight by like 7 o'clock Thursday night. And I just had to sit and chill, which kind of sucked. I did it a little bit early.
No, it does.
But there was no stress. Like, I was on and I was ready to go. I just felt good. I felt good. It all went well.
Yeah, and you look good. You said it perfectly. You said leading into this, there's levels to this game, right?
Yeah.
There he is. Now we got there light you go. On you now, as well. Now I mean, what more? Yeah. I mean, you're taking the piss now, Anthony. He's winning fights. He's not taking shots. you're having the best weight cuts.
He's drinking beer at noon.
Oh, my God. He's drinking bloody beer at noon. Jeez Louise, slow down. No straw, though. Bonus points for that.
No, I'm being a man.
Listen. Congrats. We're going to talk about the fight. If I ever saw you drink a beer with a straw,
that'd be it.
I mean, a Moscow Mule is one thing, but a beer with a straw, that just can't be allowed. No, you said there's levels to this, and you're absolutely right. Vitor Petrino, dangerous guy. Only 11 fights, though. And I was thinking about this. I was just working out before, and I was thinking about the show, and I was thinking about what I was going to talk about with you, you know, and how to approach it. And you're absolutely right, because I was worried for you in the fight. Of course I was. I'm your friend. I care for you, of course. And, you know, you needed the win. Let's just be frank. Right. And then in hindsight now, of course, not taking away from the victory, 11 fights. I remember when I had 11 fights. You know, you're still very much a baby in this sport, because he came out guns blazing, not really showing you any respect, and you were just kind of calm and chill and just like waiting for the right opportunity. Then he gives you the neck, you know what I mean? And then that was it. It was all game over. But how many fights have you had now?
57. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I thought what you said on the microphone was perfect.
You know, I even think that even with the, you know, me saying, well, there's levels to this and I've been doing this a long time and the experience thing matters. I think I even gave, and this is going to come off like I'm being an asshole, but I'm really not. I even gave him more credit or more respect than I should have. Like, you watch the tape and it's, well, he's got a really fast, powerful lead hand. And so then we worked really hard on that. And then it was, you know, his right hand at times can be kind of sneaky. I'm like, all right, we got to make sure we pay attention to that. And then we get in there and I just seen everything. Like, and maybe that's because I was so focused on it in training camp, but he threw the first jab. I'm like, oh, wow, that's normal speed. Like, okay, I can handle that. He threw the hook, and then the right hand had a big tell to it. So it was like, just stay out of range, stay out of trouble, especially being in Brazil. Those guys are so juiced up. If you go and look at the first round of all the Brazilian fighters, they're so amped in that first 2 minutes. Like, they just can't control themselves. So just kind of pick at the leg a little bit and just be safe. And then as I started to loosen up a little bit, then that's kind of when the neck thing happened. But I was a little bit stiff at the beginning. The timing was off on the pay-per-view a little bit. And you know how that goes, being on the broadcasting side. Like, I expected to have a little bit more. Like, I thought we were going to go right away. As soon as that last fight ended, I thought we'd walk. And because that's kind of how they were doing it. And then we had about 7 or 8 minutes of just hanging out in the back. So I kind of cooled down a little bit, and then we walked. So, like, I was a little bit stiff and cool when the fight started. But as we got moving, I was seeing everything. I felt good. His speed wasn't a problem. And the leg kicks paid off early for sure.
Yeah, I was just looking. So it was Michel Pereira versus Iho Pateria. They got to fill time to a certain degree. They don't just want to smash right into it. Yeah. You just said something there that might get picked up by the media. As you know, everything you say, you are a clickbait machine, every Anthony. Time.
Mm-hmm.
All the Brazilians are juiced up in the first round. Jeez, well, Louise.
This is what it is.
I mean, I did fight in Brazil. His name was Vitor Belfort, and he was certainly on all the secret juice.
He was juiced up through all those rounds.
Yeah. What was it? I always said that Vitor Belfort was, what was it? It was like, whatever. I had a good, funny analogy in my book back in the day. It was like the Incredible Hulk. What was it? Nah, who cares? I can't remember what it was. I haven't read the book for a while. Quitters never win. So talk to me about the pressure going in though, Anthony. Right. As you know, it hasn't gone your way lately.
Right.
Yes. In hindsight, I'm sure you maybe shouldn't have taken the Khalil Rountree fight, but even still, regardless of the situation going into that fight in Brazil,
it's been kind of up and down a little bit
with him standing there and grinning and smiling as if you were no threat whatsoever. Did you just want to get your fucking hands on him and rip his head off?
No, the opposite. I felt bad for him. I felt bad for him because the smiling and the grinning and the uncomfortable body length. Listen, we're at weigh-ins, right? And I just weighed in, and he was already in the little area where we all sit after you weigh in. And I go back and you know, I'm drinking my water, and like, I can kind of see him like in my peripheral vision a little bit ahead of me. And he's like doing something like this. And in my head, I was like, is this fucking guy staring me down at weigh-ins? Like, after I'm all like sucked up and dehydrated, like started to get a little bit like irritated. So finally I like take a drink and I look up at him and he goes, I was like,
you fucking fan.
So then I realized he's a nice guy. He's a decent guy. You know, we shook hands, no big deal. But then in the octagon, when he was kind of smiling, like, I felt bad for him because that's his response to being very nervous. It's a big moment. Like, Tyson Pedro to me, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but Tyson Pedro to me is a big jump in competition. It's an opportunity to get yourself into the top 10. It's your first main card fight on a pay-per-view. It's your first big highlight in your home country with all your friends. Like, you've seen him waving at his family and stuff. Like, if you're waving at your friends and family in the crowd while I'm standing across from you, you're either one, really nervous, or two, don't give a shit about me. Both places are bad places to be. So I just took it as he was a little bit nervous and had some nervous energy and didn't really know how to react to it. So I kind of felt bad for him because I was like, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. The only time I did that, where I was that kind of aloof, if you will, or dismissive of the threat, was when I fought Matt Hamill, UFC 75. And I was giving a thumbs up to Dana. I was waving. I see my buddies in the audience because I honestly thought I was just going to go right through him. And when they said fight, I've said this many times, 2 minutes into the fight, you mean they're like a headlock, like you'd have your little brother smacking me in the face, blood's pouring out of my nose. And I'm like, shit, this isn't going to plan. Harrington, Brian, come on. We got to get on here and give Anthony the respect that he deserves. Come on, round of applause for Anthony Lynott-Smith, everybody.
There we go.
Brian, you're not clapping.
Yeah, goddamn.
He's just burbling.
And I'm in my new house. Like, there's no bits and bobs. I'm kind of just hanging out because my office isn't done yet. But I'm in my new house, hanging out.
Jesus Christ. He's flying down to Brazil. He's getting back in the winner's column. He's getting paid handsomely. He's got new houses. Jesus Christ, Anthony.
My poor wife. We moved in here Monday, and then I left Tuesday for Brazil. So she's essentially everything that she's had done so far. She's unpacked most of this house by herself.
So she did all the hard work. Perfect timing.
I did the hard work.
No. But you timed that perfectly. That's the real reason I took that fight. You know what I'm saying? Moving houses, the nightmare. Boys, Harrington, the floor's yours. Talk to your friend.
I told my friends that who I was watching the fights with on Saturday. I was like, guys, don't worry. Anthony Smith moved on Monday. He's not worried about this.
I did move.
We also got a pile of fucking emails of just people showing their betting slips.
Oh, I bet a lot of people made some money. I'm 4-1 underdog. How's that even happen?
You made a lot of people a lot of money.
Yeah, lost a lot of people a lot of money. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, fuck them.
I'll be honest, Anthony. If I'd have known you were moving house, my anxiety would have gone to whole new levels. Because I was like, he's at UFC 300. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's moving fucking house. He's fighting an undefeated Brazilian. Can you just focus on the task at hand?
For the love of God? I was focused.
I know.
How about that? So 2 weeks ago, the Poirier thing happened when Poirier was talking about he hadn't had any guillotine finishes at UFC 299. And right then I realized out of all the fights I had zero guillotine finishes. I never even jumped one in a fight. I hit it all the time in the gym, but I've never tried one in a fight. And then for like the last couple of weeks, I don't know why, I just kept finding them in practice. And I just kept cracking jokes. Like, what if I guillotine this guy? Obviously with Cody Brundage, it's a big joke in the gym that, you know, every time he fights, he's in the middle, he's getting ready to win and then jumps a guillotine, doesn't get it, and then loses. Like, that's the ongoing joke. You know, it's kind of a fucked up joke, to be honest, now that I think about it. But I never attempted one. And then his head was there. I'm like, well, now is as good a time as any, I suppose.
Talk to me about, and don't take this the wrong way, is there a sense of relief, Anthony? Because, you know, listen, when we step in there and every time we lose a fight, it's bad for our careers. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're still fighting towards gold. You know what I'm saying? So like, you get out there, not only show the UFC, show the world, show the fans, but to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Was there a sense of that?
Yeah. It was a big sense of relief. Because the questions do come in where, you know, some of it's my decision-making and some of it is just circumstance. And I just kept telling myself, like, you're fine. Like, you're okay. Like, just the way that my career, my life has gone is just sometimes there's up and downs and you get into a little bit of a rut and you kind of have, you struggle to get out of it. But then, you know, you can only listen to people say it so much before you start saying, well, fuck, maybe they're seeing something that I'm not seeing. And, you know, maybe I'm a bit distracted at times, and maybe I've lost it, but I don't feel it in the gym. But it was like, I don't know. I just had to fully commit myself in this training camp. And I already got another fight offer. And I just like, I can't, it's too quick of a turnaround because I figured out that it's nothing physical. It's here. Like, I have to be 100% committed, 100% focused and dialed in on only that thing. And I figured out that I can only do that for so long. Like, I'm not in my early 20s anymore where I can just keep going back to back. Like, I would have to go back to training camp next week. The thought of that makes me want to slam my fucking head in a car door. Like, I'm going to obviously get back to training. Like, that's another goal that I'm, like, Thursday, I'm going back to practice because I can't allow myself to get back out of shape, and because it's too hard to get back in shape as you get a little bit older. So I don't want to do that again. So I want to keep this. I'm in really good shape right now. So I want to just keep it rolling and just maintain it. So like, I need to make sure that I'm making good decisions. So like, I can't take that next fight. That I can't go back to back like that, because not because I couldn't physically do it. Of course I could jump in my car, pack my shit, drive to Denver, fly back and forth on the weekends, be fine. Like, of course I could do that physically, but can I do it and be like ultimately focused in the gym and excited to be there? And like, I can't, I need like to take a step back, reevaluate, like chill my brain out, manage everything that's going on, hang out. And then when I'm like, feeling like, okay, I'm ready to do it again, then I got to go again. But I just have to make better decisions. But I guess long story long, I was really relieved because everything that I thought in my head was right. And my eyes didn't deceive me. Like, cause sometimes like you start to wonder like, am I just not seeing the same shit that other people are seeing? Because I can't, I'm too biased towards myself to see a danger. And then I got in there and that was the first thing I thought when he threw the jab, because like watching the film, like, oh, I think that's okay. Like, I think I can be, I'm all right with that. And then he threw it. I'm like, okay, I'm not fucking crazy. Like, it's manageable. Right. And then just as the fight went on, like I thought he would make bad decisions. And as long as I forced him to make decisions, I thought they would be the wrong ones. And then as it happened, like, you know, he kind of gets a little bit frantic, his legs all fucked up. And then he shoots. And in my head, I was like, I knew he was going to shoot. Like, he has to. Like, I thought he would make that decision. And so, like, a lot of just proving myself right as the fight went on. That was a long, rambling answer.
No. Not at all, mate. Very interesting stuff, what you said. You said, and it's always the way. You're like, does everyone else see it? And I don't.
Right.
Because the reality is, in the fight game, the fighter themselves in question, they're always the last one to see it. It's always the peripheral. First of all, it's the fans and the coaches and the people around you. Like, shit, he's not getting it. And then even the fighter themselves in the gym, they feel fantastic. But when they can't get it done on fight night, but then they're still oblivious to it. And it is, as you mentioned there, it's about making the right decisions. Because I was going to ask you, I was going to say, dude, you took no damage. You got the job done in 2 minutes. You could parlay that straight into another fight, which, of course, they have done. But you're right. At 36, Anthony?
Almost 36, a couple months.
Right. 35, 36. You don't want to misjudge things now. You don't want to make any mistakes. You could take that fight, and you very, very well could go and win. And two quick wins, two paydays, that's really fucking attractive. You know what I'm saying? But you got to be professional. Mm-hmm. I don't expect you to divulge too much information, but who was the opponent? When was the offer? And exactly how much were they going to offer you to fight?
Well, I can't give you any of that. But, of course, behind the scenes, I will. But
relatively quick?
Pretty quick, yeah. Pretty quick.
UFC 302 going down in Newark, New Jersey?
No, it wasn't that.
Quicker I was or just, longer than that?
What's the date on that one?
June 2nd, off the top of my head.
Longer. So
UFC 303?
No, it's not UFC 303. But as soon as they offered it to me, my first initial thought was the same thing you thought. No injuries, not banged up. Another paycheck, quick turn, two in a row. But then what does that get me back into? Now I'm because I didn't think about the money right away. It was like, damn, two in a row, pretty quick, puts me in a pretty good spot. We start talking about title talk. And then immediately I got to back it up and said, no, we're not worried about the title. I'm not chasing the title right now. If I find myself there, great. That's the plan. Of course, initially, like end goal, that's the plan. But
yeah,
I can't let that guide my decision making. I know me. I can physically be there and ready to fight, like in shape, but mentally, I couldn't do another back-to-back training camp like that and not fall apart mentally, because I wouldn't want to be there. Like, I'd be a little ways into a couple weeks into it, and I'd already be pissed off, and I wouldn't want to be away from my family, and my kids will be out of school, and they'll be having fun all summer, and I'll be missing out on all that shit, and I'll be mad about it, and then I'll be all pissy, and I'll treat everyone like shit, and then I'll be a bad training partner, and then I'll be an asshole to my wife when she calls, because I'll really just be jealous and I'm missing out on whatever they're doing. Like, it would be all bad. And I just got to like check your fucking ego knowing too much is too much. Sit back, hang out for the summer with your kids, do some, you know, hang out, work the pay-per-views, do a couple fight nights, and just work on getting better.
And to be honest, doing that kind of behavior is when you've kind of given up on the title hunt. You're just trying to cash in, or maybe retirement is looming. Like when I did that quick turnaround after GSP, I knew I was retired. I was like, fuck, why wouldn't I take this? I don't really [S2] Right. [S1] Give a fuck if I win or lose. I'm going and go and try and win. But who cares? Because it's not going to impact my career, because my career is over. It's done. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
The only other time I did that, what was it? UFC 85. As I was walking onto the scale to weigh in, they asked me if I would fight on the next card in London, which was two pay-per-views away. So I agreed right then and there, but that's because I was fucking 26 years old and dumb as fuck. So I already have my next fight lined up. So congrats again, Anthony. Congratulations. Today's episode is brought to you by 8Sleep, which is the solution to all of your sleeping issues. 8Sleep's pod cover slips right over the mattress, bringing heating and cooling technology that will keep you comfortable and go into a deeper sleep. You're going to wake up feeling as fresh as a daisy, okay? The 8Sleep pod, right? It just goes on like a mattress cover, as I said, and then you can adjust your bed to be the perfect temperature at night, okay? So no more arguing with the missus. No more waking up in the middle of the night freezing cold or sweating like crazy, okay? You're going to drift off to sleep perfectly because you can automatically adjust your bed's temperature. You can go as low as 55 degrees and you can go as hot as 110 degrees. And by the way, you can split the temperatures. Your wife can have it hot. You can have it cool because you ain't no fool, okay? Nobody wants their bed 110 degrees, but my wife would. And if you are a psycho, you can also do that. Sleep science has shown that in order to sleep your best, the body temperature needs to drop in the early and the middle parts of sleep and then rise in the morning. Of course, it can be programmed to do all of those things. It keeps you at the perfect temperature all night. It also tracks your sleep and your health metrics. And they have seen that on average, sleep quality improves by 32% with just a month using the pod. So there's no better way to start your day than a good night's sleep. And that is being offered right now with the 8Sleep Pod 3. Start the new year right and invest in the rest that you deserve with the 8Sleep Pod cover. Go to 8sleep.com/bisping to get $200 off and free shipping. 8sleep.com/bisping. $200 off this remarkable piece of technology that will revolutionize the way you sleep and the way you feel going forward. 8sleep.com/bisping for $200 off and free shipping. Now, another good reason why you don't want to be taking these fights real quick is because the little beef between you and Alex Pereira, it's really starting to heat up. It's
that got
up.
Weird, huh?
I don't know if you saw him. That you put weird. Him to sleep.
Yeah. What was he wearing?
Oh, I didn't see what he was wearing. Do we have any Hamilton O'Brien? No. Can I find that video?
What was he wearing?
Where they're introducing him and he falls asleep. Why? What was it, like a leather waistcoat?
It's like a vest, like with no shirt underneath of it. I was like, all right.
Oh, so, shit. So what are we saying? Okay. Alex Pereira, on top of having no jiu-jitsu, has no fashion sense.
Right. Apparently.
Your words, not mine.
He was falling asleep while I was being introduced by Buffer. And then I'm not 100% sure this is real, but
the $50,000?
He offered $50,000. I start on his back, both hooks in, seatbelt grip, and I got 5 minutes to finish him. If I do, he gives me 50 grand. Like, we put up 50K.
I saw that. I saw you say that you choked the shit out of him. Can you just say those words? I would choke the shit out of him.
It's not even just him.
You say those words? Because that's going to be the title of the episode.
I would choke the shit out of him.
Out of Alex Pereira.
I would choke the shit out of Alex Pereira.
And I would make it look easy.
I don't know if I'd make it look easy. He probably put up a pretty good fight, but.
Yeah. I'll keep pushing. I saw the video and I also thought, was that like an AI thing?
I think it was an AI thing because I seen it before and thought it was just fake bullshit. And then they keep bringing it up. And I think someone made it into like made the AI video And then I think he just ran with it because it was picking up in the media. And he's kind of a media darling. Like, he's not stupid when it comes to social media and headlines and stuff like that. I think he's just running with it.
No, he's actually very smart. He's a man of few words, but when he does talk, I mean, you can see that he's definitely a good thinker, because I think leading up to Fire Week, he was there, he was signing the posters. He did like a little troll job. I don't know if you saw that. You were probably busy getting ready for your own fight. Yeah, he did like a fake thing, signing pictures, trying on gloves and doing the, you know, when you do the photo shoot and take move to your left a little bit, he was doing that, but he was going the wrong way. And stuff. He was doing it on purpose. It was actually really, really funny. So he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. If you were to do that, Anthony, though, and you did choke him out, not only would you gain $50,000, which is always nice.
And I would buy the most ridiculous thing with that. I would spend every penny on the most ridiculous thing. Like a fucking
leather waistcoat?
No, like a 18-foot tall dildo I'd put in my backyard with his name on it.
You're getting Harrington very excited.
Just something ridiculous. Something absolutely ridiculous.
An 18-foot dildo?
Yeah.
Sounds like a gigantic Brazilian tomahawk. No, but not only an effigy of Alex Pereira. You're being disrespectful to the
champion. I'm not being disrespectful. That's what
you're being so disrespectful right now, Anthony. Get a hold of yourself. He's off the Modelo's.
Okay, I would definitely, maybe not an 18-foot tall dildo, but I would buy something 17. Real ridiculous. Yeah.
Harrington and Brian, if you had $50,000 to waste right now, if someone had a gun to your head and you had to waste it, what would you waste $50,000 on? Waste. That's the key word.
You got to blow it.
I buy a Hellcat.
That's not a waste. That's useful. That something waste. Ridiculous.
You'd have a Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Oh, there we go.
That would look ridiculous in your driveway.
What is that? A Wiener Mobile?
The Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobiles? Like the hot dogs? Like the hot dog company?
Oh, right. Okay.
Could you imagine dropping your kids off to school in that?
I'd just get the boys together and we just go blow it on a crazy weekend.
In the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
I would
cruise around Vegas in that thing.
That would not be my choice. I would get all the boys together and we're going to go old school.
See, that doesn't seem like a waste. Mikey B. That doesn't seem like a waste.
Just nose beers and ladies of the night out in Vegas.
Hey, whatever floats your boat. Yeah. So I was going to say, Anthony, but not only would you gain $50,000, you also then have a submission over the champ, which therefore, not only do you have beef, not only do you have some kind of rivalry, but you also have a legitimate submission, you know,
it's not
and a case for a title shot.
That's not a terrible spot to be in, too. I just don't know that he would actually stand by that. Even just a regular grappling match, I just don't think he would. And I've never been – the craziest thing is he's the one who brings it up all the time. I've never once – if you guys are going to – all you fucking media people, you're going to write something. Write this. I've never once challenged Alex Pereira to a grappling match. Not one time. Never. I've only ever accepted his offers. He wanted to do a grappling match. Then he wanted to do one in the gi. Now he wants me to take his back and wants to bet $50,000 that I can finish, that I can't finish him in 5 minutes. Those are all from him. So like, I see these people are always like, well, of course he wants to do a grappling match. That's the only thing you can beat him. I'm not the one fucking like bringing it up. I just agree to it. I would agree to do anything Alex Pereira wants to do. It wouldn't like pick and choose any martial art you want. The answer is yes. Doesn't matter.
So
I would absolutely do any of them.
In the chat, the video is 100% real. So the challenge is out there. Now I'm going to say this.
I said it's AI.
Well, it is, but he's definitely running with it. Oh, yeah. The video is ridiculous.
Play it. But you know, it might just be AI doing the voiceover and the translation, because I want Alex Pereira to learn English and sound like this. Roll the tape.
I make a bet with Anthony Smith. I let him take my back, put the hooks in, and give him 5 minutes to finish me. We can bet. Like, he said I'd win a $50,000 bonus. He said it was a sure thing. So if he sees me saying this here, I want him to accept. He takes my back, sees that my arm was trapped. No, he has to finish.
Incomplete, your 50K penalty.
He pays the 50 bills. Then I allow him to take my back, put the hooks, right? Both of us sitting there, right?
Game on.
So here we go. All right, I'll have 5 minutes to get up and stand, you know? If I get up in 1 minute or 4 minutes, no matter. I stood up, he lost, he pays 50K, got it? If he finishes me, okay?
The fight is confirmed. He is going to reach the destination. Anthony Smith, you and Alex Potin at the Performance Institute, valued at $50,000. Just need to finish with the locked position. Nothing more. It's on, Alex.
Anthony?
I'm in.
You accept the challenge?
I've accepted like 9 times. I'm fucking
now
in.
Listen. I'm listen. In. Listen. Whilst on, if you are successful, you gain $50,000. Mm-hmm. And it makes a case for you fighting for the belt. Mm-hmm. If you were to lose, because there's a give and the take, there's a yin and the yang, not only would you have to pay him $50,000, but then the case, you know, would that be embarrassing? You know what I mean? I gave you the best position and you couldn't do it, because you know and I know, mixed martial artists, I reckon I'd have a good chance at defending you for 5 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Because we become fucking masters at fighting the fucking hands and getting the fucking shit and get out of there and clear the hook. Do you know what I mean? We'll do it for a laugh. No $50,000 when we get together. We'll film that. I'm not doing it for 50K, but I'll take that Pepsi challenge, brother. You ain't getting shit on me.
I don't think is there a chance he gets away? Maybe. He's pretty explosive. Like, if like referee blows the whistle and he explodes, like maybe I don't have quite as enough time to like really set the hooks tight and get to it. But I think that's unlikely. But I'm willing to bet on myself for sure. I'll bet on myself every single time. I didn't fucking get to where I am today not taking challenges like that or betting on myself in opportunities like this. So, but I'm willing to bet anybody, almost anybody. I can think of a handful of people in the world where, like, 100%, I probably couldn't choke him in 5 minutes. That's less than I can count on one hand, where I'm 100%, like, no, probably not. But everybody else in the world, if you give me a dominant position like that, that's my favorite in the world, like, I'm probably going to – in 5 minutes, 5 minutes is a lifetime with someone on your back.
But it is. You're absolutely right. Mixed martial arts, for sure. Because the punches change everything. When there's no punches involved, it does become a little bit harder. Granted, if you're dealing with one of the top jiu-jitsu competitors on the planet, that's a different kettle of fish. Yeah, I would use the punches, and you make mistakes, mm-hmm. and the chin comes up, and all of a sudden you're going home, you're laughing to the bank, and you're buying 17-foot dildos. You know,
right?
Your wife's eyes are lighting up. What is that, Anthony? Jesus Christ! I know we just got a new house, but I don't think that bastard's gonna fit in. Jesus Christ!
Yeah, but like with a guy like Nicky Rod or Gordon Ryan or Craig Jones or, you know, like those level of competitors, probably gonna have a tough time because they've trained from their whole lives. But I just think I finished there.
I've got a bad neck. I'm going to go see the doctor right after this, but I want to do this challenge with you.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Just for fun. Shits and gigs.
Right. Do it for dinner.
Staying 100%. Yeah. There you go.
Dinner.
The loser pays for dinner.
Perfect.
Staying on Alex Pereira. And of course, there's lots of other UFC 301 stuff to talk about, but it just seems, you know, segues. Pereira is kind of being called out by John Jones, another man that you know very well. Tom Aspinall, of course, the interim champion, is coming out and he thinks that Jones is playing games. He thinks that he's just, and I agree, I think he's just trying to, he's just messing around, he's playing games. I think he's trying to wind up Tom Aspinall, because I, for one second, can't believe that John Jones would have, it would be so embarrassing for him to realistically be calling out the champion from the weight class below if he was to beat Stipe. And we know that's an if. That's not a given. Mm-hmm. But to then be talking about not retiring but taking on a different challenger, he's got to be fucking with everybody.
Well, like John Jones has ever been concerned with being embarrassed of anything. He's really good at it. If he's smart, That's exactly what he's doing. Like if he really wants to for sure, if he wants the for sure fight or he wants the better matchup, he would avoid Tom Aspinall like the plague. So like if he beats Stipe, I would say that Alex Pereira is probably a bigger money fight. Right now.
So I looked at the responses on X. I believe that's the first time I've ever said that, and it didn't feel right. On Twitter, I looked at the responses, and I thought overwhelmingly it would be people saying, "Tom, come on, man, cut the shit. You're out of your mind." But it was actually the opposite. I think Tom Aspinall posted like a meme or an image of John Jones kind of like looking like that or whatever, and he tagged John's tweet below it. And everyone was like, look, listen, obviously, Tom, you're the next logical fight. But in terms of legacy fights, in terms of money-making fights, Alex Pereira is one of the biggest stars in the world of mixed martial arts right now. Yeah. And I was kind of blown away. You know, everybody knows that I'm very good friends with Tom. And I thought I was going to go to the comment section and see something very, very different. But it seemed, and I'm not saying everybody, but there was a real healthy percentage of people saying, actually, Pereira makes sense over Tom. And I was like, the pets' heads are definitely falling off.
Well, in terms of divisional relevance and the natural progression of the situation that we found ourselves in the heavyweight, Tom Aspinall makes all the sense in the world. But if you're John Jones, like if you're his coaches or you're his accountant or you're his manager, Stipe Miocic, Alex Pereira, that's much lower risk, whole lot more reward, and probably more money right now. Like I think in time, two or three fights, I think Tom Aspinall is one of the biggest superstars in the entire UFC, in the whole company. He just hasn't, unfortunately, he's been stuck in this weird spot where he hasn't had the opportunity. But you and I both know that give Tom the opportunity, the fights, the platform, the spotlight, and the promotional push that he's going to get when he fights, there's no way he's not a superstar.
No. And that goes with that.
And he's crazy popular. And he's crazy popular already. It's just Alex Pereira is already, you know, a two-weight world champion. He's already like got this boogeyman thing going on. And people like, I mean, it's recency bias. It's what they've recently seen. And I think people in their minds can imagine Pereira landing one of those nasty left hooks and, you know, they envision in their head John going down. Like, can John take it? Can he not take it? I think there's a lot of those like games being played in people's heads.
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, as fighters, we want to be a part of the biggest fights possible. All right, cool. Right now, Pereira would be a bigger fight. To your point a moment ago, Tom's got a real personality and he's got his own YouTube channel. If people haven't checked that out, do so, because he has some really good videos and content on there doing all kinds of different stuff. And he will be there. And I think when he gets his hands on Tom, I just don't really see it being a fight. I mean, oh, sorry, that's insulting to John. I just strongly believe that Tom would win that fight. Mm-hmm. And that's not being disrespectful to John Jones. The size of him
and the way all he moved.
We've talked about it a thousand times.
Yeah. I don't need to sit here and jerk off Tom Aspinall, okay? That'd be like working a 17-foot dildo, okay? in the old days of this podcast, that would be the title of this episode, but it's not going to be. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, there's an image I'm trying to get out of my mind.
Tom 17-foot dick.
Oh, my God. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh, no. I saw a picture of John Jones just recently. And again, I don't know if this was AI, but he looked rough. He looks like really, really out of shape. And I know in between, I mean, dude, I used to get in terrible shape. I used to look really bad and heavy and unathletic. And then come fight time, you get it back. But did you see that picture? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I didn't see the picture.
Yeah. He didn't look athletic at all. It could have been bullshit. You never know these days.
These days, it's hard to tell what's real and what's not.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, enough about that. So just real quick, we'll go through these fights because we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Sadly, Paul Krieg didn't get the job done Saturday night. Kyle Bahio looked really good, to be honest. I mean, he was telegraphing the shots a little bit, but
What do we do with Paul Krieg?
What did we do with Paul?
Yeah, what do we do with him?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Listen, he's a warrior. He'll step in there. He'll fight. He'll you know, he's got very fearsome jiu-jitsu.
We got to get the striking going.
I know. And that is the issue, of course. I don't want to say you can't teach old dog new tricks.
You think he might be too far along?
I'm not just saying he's not too far gone. You can definitely refine and clean things up and all the rest of it. I think he just needs to work on his offensive wrestling, maybe. You know what I mean?
I'd like to get him out to Denver. I'd like to get him out to Denver and just give him a different look. Not that he doesn't have good coaches, because I know he does, but just get a different look, maybe a different, like a new set of eyes, you know?
Well, he's got the talent. Well, that's actually a really good point, because I'm sure he has very good training partners, but the center of the universe, when it comes down to it, essentially, for mixed martial arts, is the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's a US-driven sport. There's more gyms. There's more training partners. There's more facilities and resources. Yes, of course, you don't have to be in America to do well, and that's clearly proven. We've got champions from all over the world. But in terms of just getting maybe, you know, just everyday attention, you know, the minutiae of techniques and things like that. Get out and mix things up. Go with a different camp for a little while. But that's hard. But you don't have to be disloyal. You don't have to say to everyone, listen, I'm leaving you. You say, listen, I'm going to go spend some time in the States or to Dagestan or to Russia or wherever the hell it is.
Just a few weeks just to get a different look and see what – just have someone else take a look at you. And just see if they see something different. Your coaches see you every single day, day in, day out. That's why I like to bounce around and just train with different people. When I'm in Vegas, I'll grab a coach and say, "Hey, coach, you got an hour? You know, you got an hour? I'll go see Nick Sick, and he's got a bunch of coaches in there. And hey, just get you got 45 minutes just to walk through me with some stuff, just for someone new to take a look at you."
Some of my most useful techniques, and when I say useful, they're nothing flash or whatever, when I was fighting, came from little chance meetings with a coach in a training room I just happened to be in, and they would show one little thing. And it was one little thing, and it was super basic, but I'd never seen it before. And I went on to use that throughout all my career. And it happened all the time, because every time you go to a different gym, you get a different look, a different feel, a different speciality from that coach. So that's not a bad idea. But Paul, you're a warrior. Kyle Borjaio, the man's fantastic. We got to give him his due. Well done to Kyle. Michelle Pereira, did you see when you're all backstage, you're warming up, you're getting ready to, you know, to go out, the adrenaline's starting to flow, the anxiety's creeping in a little bit, you're like, I'm doing this right. Are you keeping one eye on the screen? Are you watching Michelle Pereira backflip on top of his opponent and potentially knee him in the face?
I did see that. I watched it. Yeah, I watched it. I didn't see the replay, because I know they replayed it a couple times. I don't know if the knee hit or not. That's Michelle Pereira, though. I mean, that guy is just a freak of nature. And he is so fucking big.
So big.
I can't believe that guy used to make welterweight not that long ago. Well, try, I guess.
He's now on an 8-5 win streak. And he's a monster, man. 31-11. I didn't realize he had that many fights.
Neither.
Only 11 knockouts, but it's the excitement that he brings. Do you know what I mean? And we've spoke about this many times, just the willingness to do that, right? To fight at that level on pay-per-view, there's a lot of pressure. The world's watching, and you're fighting someone else that's trained just as much as you. They come from very similar circumstances. And in the middle of the UFC's octagon, you're going to choose at that point there to do a jumping fucking backflip onto your opponent. I mean,
this is
that's
crazy.
Some Pride FC legendary shit.
That might have been a knee.
If I on the slow-mo, not on Brian's very fast replay, it showed the shin touching the chest, if I do believe.
Oh, okay.
Granted, I'd been to an Indian wedding on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to an Indian wedding?
No.
Quite the lavish affairs. It was at the British Natural History Museum,
that sounds fancy as shit.
An unbelievable venue. When you walk in, it used to have a big bloody skeleton of like a, Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's an unbelievable place. Brian, just bring up the Natural History Museum. It's just the most unbelievable thing. And they had like big like skeletons of like mammoths and like crazy.
Damn,
and
at the wedding?
That's at the crazy. Wedding, because I thought the wedding would be in like, yeah, okay, it's at the Natural History Museum, but it'll be like at some like little conference hall connected right. to it. Oh, no. I walked in. I'm like, shit, it's the main hall. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
And they were having an amazing time, and it was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. And thank you to the people. I'll keep it kind of private. Yeah, there it is. That's like it's an unreal place. And that there is just the wedding was it just blew my mind. It just absolutely blew my mind. Anyway, there you go.
That's insane.
Dinosaur. Yeah, that's where they had the wedding. That's where we're all sitting there having our food, the Indian food, which was bloody lovely. Point where I'm going with this.
Was there drinks there?
Oh, yeah, there was drinks, of course. Indians love a good drink.
Do they? Okay.
Oh, God, yeah. Are you serious?
I don't know anything about Indian. I love their food.
Oh, I love Indian food. I had Indian food Friday night. I got a shout out at a restaurant I went to, Gymkhana. Thank you. Saturday night, we went to an Indian wedding. The flight back on the Sunday.
Indian food.
You know, might have went to the toilet once or twice on the flight. anyway, so I stay at the wedding till about midnight. I rush back to my hotel. I'm watching the fights, and I am falling asleep. Because in the UK, it's on to like 5 o'clock in the morning. Anthony, I was very tired on that flight, and I hold you solely responsible. I don't know why I brought this up.
I don't know either, but thank you for staying awake. And you text me right before I was walking out.
And you never responded. Thanks.
No, it's the only text I read. I was turning my phone off because they said my name. They're like, Anthony, let's go. And so I was turning my phone off. I was playing music and went to hand it to my best friend and looked and it said, Michael Bisbee. I'm like, well, I'm going to fucking read that real quick. And then let's fucking go. I was
And by the way, I didn't expect a response. It's kind of like you got something to do there right now. So Michelle Pereira, well done to him. All right, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And now is the time for you to take the bull by the horns and give therapy a try. I talk about this all the time. Usually we're all going through something, okay? We know there's a big spotlight on mental health, but sadly there's still a stigma attached to it. And it doesn't need to be mental health. It can be an anger issue. It can be depression. It can be alcohol abuse, substance abuse, relationship advice, whatever the case may be. Talking to somebody about your problems will help. And certainly when it's one of the professionals that BetterHelp offer, and of course with BetterHelp, it is all designed to be as convenient as possible, flexible, suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You will get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, by the way, at no additional charge, simply because, I don't know, maybe you guys just aren't vibing. So therefore, you just switch it up. You don't have to jump in your car. You don't have to drive to the other side of the town. And whatever it is that you are going through, you will get the help that you need. Just talking it through, you know, and being honest with yourself and being honest with the person, you will feel so much better. And speaking to people, certainly professional therapists, it works. It helps. That's why it exists, right? So if you have, I don't know, if you've wanted to do this, now is the time to try, because BetterHelp, it is seriously the easiest way to do it, okay? There should be no hassle involved. There's no stigma. All you do is visit betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month, and you can thank me later. Be the best version of yourself. Go to betterhelp.com/believe to get 10% off your first month, and good luck with your issue, whatever it is. betterhelp.com/believe if you want to get 10% off. Jose Aldo got back in stunning form. He looked great. He looked like he hadn't aged a day.
I know.
And Steve Erceg got a moral victory. I mean, some people were kind of split. Pantoja got the job done. I think Steve Erceg, his stock only goes up. A lot of people are saying that down the line, one day that man will go on to become a champion. 3 fights, now 3-1 in the UFC after fighting for the belt. Talk about experience at the highest level, going 5 rounds with Pantoja, going into enemy territory, doing 5 rounds. His stock has just gone through the absolute roof. So well done to him and well done to Pantoja. What were your thoughts, Anthony?
I thought it was an incredible fight. I thought that Erceg was up, and I thought it was 2-2 going into the fifth.
I thought Usyk with that weird takedown attempt probably cost himself the fight because thought he was doing well in the fifth round up to that point. But it's hard to really – I can't be too critical of him. He's got three fights in the UFC, finds himself thrust into a world title fight in the guy's hometown, across the world in Brazil. I think it's a positive. I mean, he's definitely going to be – I mean, I would be shocked if he isn't number one or number two. Come today when the rankings come out?
Seven.
Shut up.
I believe something like that. No, it is. It is. Because I saw somebody on social media kind of defending it, saying, in a loss, you actually went up one spot. I was like, that doesn't make sense. He should be way higher. Hold on, UFC rankings. Let's have a look. Pantoja. Steve Usyk, number nine.
What?
Number nine. Which I don't quite get, if I'm honest.
I was getting ready to look him up, but he went from 10 to 9.
I don't know what he was before. Was he 10?
He was 10.
Yeah, he went at one spot. He went five rounds with Pantoja.
I'm going to look him up right now. I'm going to look up these rankings because I don't have them pulled up. Here we go. And
Royval, Moreno, Albazi, yep. Kaikara France, Perez, Mohamed Makhachev, Manel Cab, Mateus Nicolau, Steve Usyk. It's. I mean, listen. It's a bunch of media panelists that do this. I don't get it.
I'm about to be a piece of shit here.
I love it.
There's only two guys, maybe three. All four. Probably four guys. Sorry, I know. I forgot we're here.
Modelo's at noon. It's fine.
Right. Three or four guys that I would argue to put him ahead of. Other than that, like I said, like one or two in the top of my head, it's hard to put him above Brandon Royval. It's hard to put him above Moreno. Amir Albazi's only got one loss. Kaikara France, you can make the argument, but he's got more time in the division. Alex Perez looked pretty good in his last fight.
Mohamed Makhachev's been on a roll. He's undefeated.
Manel Kopp and Nicolau, I would have jumped him in front of them probably.
Yeah.
But it's hard to jump. You can't jump Perez because then that would put him in front of Makhachev. And I would have a hard time. I guess I'm gonna walk back what I said before.
Generally, because I mean, listen, yeah, it was to the champion, but you don't really advance in your career off a loss. How in a fight you don't really score any kind of points by being defensive. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the same principle.
There's not eight people in front of him that'll beat him though. So in terms of the number system, I get how they kind of had to stick him back there. I think we could have gone a couple more ahead, but there's definitely not eight people in front of him. They're going to beat him. That's for sure. Remember I said in his last fight on the post show, and I think to you too, I said, Usyk might beat them all. He might beat them all.
Well,
and like Saturday night kind of strengthened my thought there.
I'll tell you, you know what I liked about UFC 301? I liked how Kyle Bohio, no offense to Paul Craig, got the job done real quick in round two. I like how Michelle Pereira got the job done in 54 seconds. I loved how you got the job done in 2 minutes because I'm sitting there at 4 o'clock in the fucking morning and I'm literally falling asleep. Do you know what I mean? So I'm going to be honest. I haven't seen the main event. I haven't seen the main event. That's why I'm like, Anthony, so give me your thoughts.
What do you think about this?
I did. I like after your fight, I went to the toilet. I had the pre-sleep piss, right? Came back and I could hear Aldo getting introduced and like my eyes was like, you know, I'd had a couple of drinks, nothing crazy, but I'm like, oh, I just watched. And as I was watching and the eyes were going like, and then as soon as that fight was done, I was like, I'm sorry, I just can't physically do it. I was so tired. It's 5 o'clock in the morning or something. And I had to go to the airport. So I never saw that one, but I will try and watch it at some point because I'm a massive fan of Pantoja. Well done to both men. Anyway, should we get Harrington on and see what non-MMA story he has for us?
See what bullshit he's bringing
today.
Okay. So I figured you guys would be able to give a good take on this one because you do both have children, you know, in schools. A 17-year-old kid in North Carolina, the judge has declared he's going to be tried as an adult after he attacked two of his teachers. One of them was gotten on film by a student in the class and it's been released.
Oh Jesus.
He just sat down.
Do you think that affected me any?
Let me hit you again.
I don't want it.
What the hell?
Oh my God.
I told your dumbass I'm not those dumbass glass off your face. And do I look like I care?
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. And you know what?
Not one kid jumped up and helped that lady.
Well, that's the thing as well, Anthony, because I see so much stuff on social media. Twitter, as we know, is a fucking cesspool for madness these days. And the stuff that you see on there, and then you look around and there's so much violence happening and innocent people getting beat up and nobody does a thing. But that kid right there, 17 years old, I'm sorry, 17 years old, you know exactly what you were doing.
You know better. And,
well, he has no respect. Now, teachers... I was kind of anti-authoritarian when I was at school. I didn't get along with the teachers. I didn't, you know, because I was a little shit. I didn't do as I was told. I didn't do my homework. So I was always getting in trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. But you don't take your hands and slap a female.
No. Yeah, a female, first of all. A teacher, exactly. Nonetheless. Man, you did that shit in my school. You were getting jumped by the whole class. Even if nobody liked the teacher. That's not what we do. That's not how humans are supposed to operate. That's crazy. He deserves everything he's going to get.
Well, he does. He does. And to be fair, it's kind of, I'm making excuses for him here. It all starts at home. It's the parents.
Culture. It's a culture thing. It's just where we're at in this day and age, for sure.
No, it is. It is. It is. It's, you know, world. Funnily enough, I just saw a video, Sylvester Stallone on Instagram, and he was mm-hmm. showing his old boxing gloves and how they were 6 ounces. And oh, yeah. They hurt. And in fact, Brian, go to Official Sly Stallone, see if you can see this. And he's talking about how times are so soft and weak these days, mm-hmm. you know, and because life is so easy. And I know that's not necessarily related precisely to what we're talking about, but it kind of is in some ways. And the world these days has just gone soft. And that child, well, I say a child, that is not a child, that young man, should be absolutely goddamn ashamed of himself. Oh, yeah, here's Sly, the legend. Let's have a listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Allow these to today. They don't even allow these today because they're so dangerous. But that's what they used when I did the film. They're barely 6 ounces. They're Reyes, and they're literally lethal. So I still have them because it's a time when people were tougher. Sorry, they were. Life is just getting a little easier and easier and easier. And, oh, that's great. It's wonderful, but it's not. I think when we force ourselves into tough situations, that's what the human creature is supposed to do. They're not supposed to have wheels on their suitcases. They're not supposed to have lawnmowers with engines that pull them along. It's a convenience, no question. But it just makes things easier. Now with AI, you can literally put your brain in the pickle jar and have that machine do it. So I cherish these moments. I cherish hard work. Even though I hate it, I know it's like strong medicine. Tastes horrible going down, but it makes you feel better.
Yeah, as I said, not directly related, but I saw that and I absolutely love that, what he said there. Because, yeah, look, listen, of course we want an electric lawnmower. We want all the convenience, and I want wheels on my goddamn suitcase for sure. I do. Because it's annoying. The amount of times I've traveled internationally and one of the wheels has snapped on the suitcase.
Oh, it's the worst. Have you ever had that? Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah.
You can only hope that it happens when you're coming home.
I've had it go in there.
Oh no.
Rocked up with the damaged suitcase and looked like an absolute hobo. They're like, he's not doing very well. Buy a new suitcase, Bisping. But he does bring up some good points. The world has gone soft, you know, and you do need to struggle. Like, I'm telling Callum at the minute, Callum's got a job now and he's kind of like, he's like, is this it? Is this life? You know, and his personal situation has changed recently, and you know, and he's like not depressed, but it's like, dude, this is life. This is
life is hard.
Life is fucking hard, and people just want it to be easy. But that comes later in life. You know, you're supposed to struggle when you're younger, you know, and that little mm-hmm. shit for doing that and putting his hands on the teacher, he's gonna struggle now. He's going to pay the piper. That's for damn sure. Because at 17 years old, you know exactly what you're doing, and he's going to have a lot of consequences. He really is.
Yeah.
Have you ever done anything like that, Anthony? Put your hands on a goddamn female for one never. And a teacher.
Never, never. But here's why. First of all, because I have morals and it's just goddamn disrespectful and wrong as a man. But I always had this thing in the back of my head that the people around me in my life would fucking crucify me. You know what? My old Uncle Todd on that has the farm that I grew up on. You know what Uncle Todd and his friends would have done to me if I ever put my hands on a female or a teacher? They would have drugged me out by the pond and beat the fuck out of me and just left me there. Like,
yeah,
what my mother would have done to me if I'd embarrassed her like that and brought shame to her for the child that she raised would end up doing something like that. She'd have put a fucking gun to my head. And that's no bullshit. But that's what's lacking in today's society is people around these people holding them accountable for their actions. There's no chance. Even if I wanted to, I never would have. But if I wanted to, that's what it would have been in the back of my head right away. Uncle Todd and my mom will literally fucking kill me. Like they will physically hurt me. like whatever I do to someone else, they'll do exactly back to me. Like that. I've always had that in the back of my head. To this day, I'm on the beach after my Brazil flight wasn't until the evening time. Or my flight back from Brazil wasn't until the evening time. So I'm sitting on the beach, having a couple beers. We're eating some of those steaks that they have at that little shack across the street in Rio. And
stop.
Oh, so good. And Uncle Todd texts me, good fight. Call when you can. Immediately, I'm like a kid. Like, I'm in trouble. Like, did I do something? I better call him. I got to call him right away. How's my service? I got to call him. Like, immediately. Like, I still, as a 35-year-old man, when Uncle Todd says, call when you can, if you fucking can, you call right now. Because that's what you're, that's the type of respect that I have for that man. So immediately, I'm FaceTiming him. And he's like, oh, we're having beers on the beach. That's what we're doing. Like, immediately giving me shit. But like, that's the type of respect that I have for like my elders and the people that raised me. Like, even as a grown man with my own kids and my own shit going on, when he says call, I fucking call exactly when he says to call. That's lost on society, young men and women.
They need that. And sadly, you know, there's a lot of environments and households that don't have those positive influences around them. So as I said before, I'm not making excuses for him because he's ultimately, there is no excuse for that. And he's in charge of what he does. But you bring up a good point. Like when I was at school, when I was at high school, we call it skiving. What do you call it? Playing hooky or some shit?
Skipping.
Yeah, skipping class, whatever. Yeah. We had to catch a bus. And I was always late for the bus. And if you missed the bus, that was it. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes I'd walk. It was like a 7 mile. And I'd get there and they'd be like, oh, you've done this on purpose. And I'm like, you think I chose to walk fucking 7 miles on my own in the middle of summer without any money for a drink or anything? And I never skived. That's what we call it. Never did that once because I knew my dad would kick the shit out of me. You know what I'm saying? I was held accountable. And even if when I was in trouble and the teachers called my dad in, my dad would always have my back to the teachers to a fault, to be honest. And I'm very grateful for him, you know, and sometimes he threatened to beat the teachers up. But as soon as we got back in that car and we were driving home, I was in for it. You know what I'm saying?
That's how my mom was. That's so funny.
Yeah. My dad was like that. My mum was the complete different, the opposite. She would, like the teachers would be like complaining about whatever it was that I'd done. And she'd be like, she'd like pile extra on. She'd be like, oh yeah, yeah. And he doesn't tidy his room. And he's very disrespectful. I'm like, mum, shut the fuck up. You're making shit worse. I'm on the verge of being expelled here. You know what I mean? But to your point, to Uncle Todd, you need that. You need someone around you that's going to fucking hold you accountable and call you out on your bullshit. And that's, I mean, I'm lucky now. I've got Rebecca to do that. When you're fighting, you need a manager. You need coaches that are going to do that. Right. And that little kid there, that young man, clearly had no positive influences. But even still, that's not an excuse to go around and be slapping a female teacher in the face as hard as that. For what? I mean, I'm sure it was for to saying be cool words, in front of
your fucking friends, right?
For saying words that he didn't like, it's just a sad reflection on the state of society these days.
I spoke on it a little bit. I know we're kind of dragging this on, but
good.
I spoke on it a little bit in my post fight kind of press conference after the fight. They were and I think I kind of got on this tangent because I'm so passionate about this exact subject. They were saying, well, you catch a lot of hate, and you're like, listen, I catch hate because I tell the truth and it makes people uncomfortable, because people these days aren't used to seeing someone just be honest. Like, and it all goes into this social media world that we see, this fake bullshit that you see on Instagram, these Instagram perfect lives and these couples and these relationships, and it's so fake that it's doing damage to society, because these young kids, these young adults, these young men, these young women that are like struggling a little bit, or they don't quite know where they fit in the world, or maybe even in Callum's situation, where whatever's going on with his personal life or his job or school or his injuries when he was in college, was wrestling still, like, then they scroll through their phone and they see everybody that they know is having these perfect lives and these perfect relationships and these perfect get-togethers with their friends, and they're at all these workouts they're getting into are so goddamn incredible all the time. And it just makes you feel like shit about yourself, when in all reality, those people's lives fucking suck. Like, and maybe they don't all suck, but they're not that good. Like, they're not picture perfect in every single moment. And I just wish we got a little bit more realness in life and on social media. And I'm fucking guilty of it too. Like, I don't show all the bullshit that goes on with my, what I should start doing is when my wife is bitching at me for leaving my laundry on the floor, or like, you know, like the real shit that happens, but I only post, you know, the shit that looks good. I post some cool videos, the little cuts that the editors make. And like, so I'm as guilty of it as anybody, but when I'm consuming it, I'm aware that this isn't real.
Correct.
Like, when I'm scrolling through.
Because it's not a, you're not putting out a conscious effort to scam and mislead everybody.
No.
You're posting things that you're proud of. You're posting something that you just won your fight. You did an interview with someone. You said a nice soundbite or whatever the case may be. You're not trying to mislead anybody, but everyone does the same thing. And for the viewer, for the consumer, that's all they see, because you're right. When shit goes south, when you're having financial problems, when you're having marital problems or whatever the case may be, the last thing you're thinking about is, oh, let's go to social media and talk about this, unless you're an absolute fucking attention whore that's putting out their personal private problems. And I do see some people doing that and making out all, woe is me, when realistically they don't have it bad at all, because there's another kind of attention that people like as well. People want to be pitied sometimes.
Right. People, they want people want to feel bad to for feel them.
Bad. They want them to feel bad and think, oh God, you've got it so bad.
Oh my God.
Sometimes these people, they don't have it bad at all. Right. But you're right. I mean, the social media thing, everyone knows, if for the most part, it's all bullshit. You can't fucking judge people's lives and existences on that. No. I'm trying to think who it was. There's someone that I know, and I know for a fact that their relationship's really bad. Do you know what I mean?
Well, don't say who it is.
No, I'm not going to say who it is. I'm not going to say what country it's in. And if anyone watching this has no idea who I'm talking about. But I know that Jesus Christ, they're splitting up every 2 seconds and they're always arguing and shit like that. But on social media,
they love each other.
They are in love. They're having a great time. Anyway.
Bro, I told you that in confidence.
I think this is a good conversation for people to hear, though. Like, I felt like a lot of the comments on that, just that one statement I had on my post-fight thing, were like, I think people appreciate that. Like, for the most part, we're all regular-ass people with regular-ass problems. Mike and I get bitched at by our, you know, get bitched at from our wives as much as any of you guys at home. I promise you. We hear it as
years we've been together.
Yeah, I hear it as much as anybody. I promise you. And then I'm not perfect. And she'll make sure that I know it. And that's real life.
I think for the young people, it's important to know that, because as you say, you know, and there is some people that are blessed. There's some people that are, and they come from a very wealthy family, and life has just been kind to them, you know, and they were dealt a great hand. And that's awesome and good luck for them. You can't be jealous. Being jealous of somebody doesn't get you anywhere. You know, you just got to focus on yourself and on your own life and make the best of the situation that you have. This episode is sponsored by Mando Deodorant from the makers of Lumi Deodorant, which is clinically proven to control the odor, the body odor, the bad smells that you may suffer from for 72 hours, okay? In a clinical study, men who showered with soap and used Mando Whole Body Deodorant in their pits, they had an odor score of 0 out of 10 after 12 hours, which means they didn't smell. Men who showered with soap alone, they had an armpit odor score of 8 out of 10 after 12 hours. Well, why is that? Well, it's clinically proven to stop your body creating the odors in the first place for up to 72 hours. As I say, some people suffer with this, some people don't. If you're one of them, you want to give this a try. You don't want to go through your life smelling. You don't want to be the butt of stupid jokes. You don't want it to affect your confidence. You know, I'm speaking to friends, trying to meet a, you know, a girl or whatever, and you're constantly smelling your pits and thinking, shit, that doesn't smell good. I mean, for example, I was talking to Rebecca Saturday night. We were at a thing. Her breath, I'm sorry to say, it stunk. I said, babe, you got to chew some gum. You got to take care of this. It was bad, and she doesn't really suffer with that. She had the gum, and therefore the breath got better. It's the same thing. If you have bad deodorant, sorry, if you have bad odors, if you suffer from BO, take care of it. Handle it. No problem. And do it with Mando. Right now, new customers, go to shopmando.com and you can get $5 off a starter pack with the exclusive code and link. As I say, that is shopmando.com. The code is Bisping for $5 off your starter pack. By the way, as I say, clinically proven to block all odor and control odor for up to 72 hours. It's baking soda free, paraben free, pH balance for safe use below the belt if you want to use it there. And as I said, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with and soap alone. So one more time, new customers get $5 off the Mando starter pack with the code Bisping when you go to shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you go to shopmando.com and you use the code Bisping. Harrington, jump back on. In fact, do we even need Harrington for this?
Probably
Harrington,
not.
Jump back off. Get lost. Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
Right? Fooled the world. Missed weight. Beat Devin Haney. Test positive for Osterine.
You think he did it?
Well, generally, because Sean O'Malley's been brought into this by Conor McGregor as well. In fact, Harrington, just bring up Conor's tweet and you can read it out for us. I don't have it off the top of my head. Sean O'Malley tested positive for Osterine. I think it might have been twice. And I kind of, and everyone knows I've always been the strongest advocate for clean sport.
Right.
And I never, ever believed these situations. Just hold the phone one second, Harrington. I never believed the excuses. But until I spoke to Jeff Nowitzki about it, and Jeff Nowitzki kind of convinced me, he said, no, Michael, in some situations, these people are innocent because of the manufacturing plants of these supplements don't do a good job in cleaning off the equipment before they start producing. Mm-hmm. So I never believed them, but Jeff Nowitzki was like, and he knows this from an educated standpoint far better than I do. I just know it from a meathead's culture. I know it from I fucking never took anything and I never tested positive. And all of a sudden these people are testing positive. And he was like, well, no, to be fair, having looked at this, having had scientists at laboratory on a molecular level, we can safely say that people did take contaminated supplements. So that's a long roundabout way of saying, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Sean O'Malley and Jeff, I think it was Jeff Nowitzki that he was talking about. It was like, right. No, listen, I'm telling you, we've looked into this in a lot of detail and we're very confident.
Well, I'm talking about Ryan Garcia. I just, of course, we'll never know probably, but I was surprised. He doesn't come off as a... I wouldn't have ever pegged him as a steroid guy.
I always said, well, listen, because I was never very careful. I wasn't. I didn't take a lot of supplements, but when I did, I never really studied the back of them, and I never had an issue. So that's why I was always very.
Well, I don't take any, so I don't know shit about shit. I'm just being very honest, I don't know anything about anything because I don't take any supplements. If you test me, I'm gonna test positive for Moscow Mules, light beer, and a steak, and plastic from the straws.
It's in your system at a molecular level. The interesting thing is, remember, he bet $2 million on himself and he won $12 million. One would assume he'd have to give that $12 million back, right?
No.
But he cheated, technically.
Well, technically, the fight is still considered a win.
Look, listen, the reality is we don't know, but they're going to test the B sample, I think it is. And if that comes back positive, then they're going to have to make it a no contest. And if they make the fight a no contest, then Ryan Garcia is going to have to give back $12 million.
So I have a question on the B sample. Why would that be different than the original sample? Let's say he did have like a contaminated shake that morning. Mm. Like, why would the B sample be different?
I have no idea.
It wouldn't. Because the B sample... For those of the people that have never been drug tested or anything, the A sample and the B sample are actually, for lack of a better term, it's the same piss. Like, you pee into a cup and then they just separate it into two samples and then they send that out to be tested. So theoretically, it wouldn't be any different, or it shouldn't be.
It's just looking for a bad test. They're saying, right, retest it, see if it pops again. And more than likely, I don't know if there's ever been a situation where they have differed. I'm sure there has. I can't think of one. But number one, let's just assume right now, as it stands, he tested positive. He's probably going to have to, and if that stands, he'll have to give back $12 million.
Not necessarily, because if you fight someone else and I bet $2 million on you, and then you win and I win $12 million. If you pop hot, I don't owe that money back.
Yeah, but if they change the verdict to a no contest because of certainly something that
think how many people would have lost money on guys failing tests if that was the case, if people had to give their winnings back.
And the people also that won money on Ryan Garcia. I'm just throwing it out there for a conversation point. I don't know the actual facts on this. Brian,
yeah, every person that bet on Ryan Garcia wouldn't have to give that money back.
So the bookies
I think he just bet as a regular gambler. Just because himself doesn't make it any different.
Yeah. But as we said, you can't bet on yourself to lose because you can just draw the fight.
Right.
You can bet on yourself to win.
Right.
But you can bet on yourself to win when.
So
popping loads of steroids, that doesn't sound logical though.
Somebody on Reddit is saying, so I'm not sure
but
they seem like they know what they're talking about. Says the outcome of the fight is the decision the ref gives on the night at the end of the fight. So that's what you're betting on.
Wow.
But if they overturn it, that'll be the commission, which the referee is a part of. If they overturn it, that would change that decision.
Yeah, but if you go to the window with $2 million and get a slip, and then you cash that slip in, what are they going to do? They don't necessarily know where you live. You know what I mean? How would they have any recourse to get that money back?
It says here, you can't go back and use an after-the-fact arbitrary commission decision to try and overturn a bet that's already been settled. And he uses the example of, Verdum lost to Ferreira. Verdum lost and Ferreira won.
Okay. Verdum lost. Verdum was the one probably taking the juice. He tested positive a couple of times. Right. I mean, listen, that's not the big talking point anyway. The talking point is that he tested positive, which is a shame because either way, it taints the performance and it taints the victory. And then Conor McGregor chimed in with Harrington.
He said, cheated the weight and was juiced. Lifetime ban. Sad to see, sad to say, sad and a bit sick. Don't come near me if you ever see me, Ryan Garcia. I'm actually disgusted. The Austrian, it reminds me of Sean O'Malley. He was on that as well. I don't like this. I'll bust you both up. Do you want to spar? I'll set flights now for you both for a full-on spar each. Two little Austrian heads. I'll ride you both like you're ostriches. What the fuck is up? Why do you think you're at?
A for effort.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. To be calling somebody out on juicing.
Oh, well, what did Ryan Garcia say?
That's the conversation point.
This is where we're going. Never mind the betting stuff. We're like, we're not on the good stuff here. Other people are on the good stuff. What was the response from Ryan Garcia? Ryan Garcia said he's going to break his leg or something like that. Harrington, real quick.
It's in Read it in Ryan Garcia's voice.
Yeah, you got to do it in a non-racist Ryan Garcia voice because everything's racist.
If I see Conor McGregor, I'm going to break his weak-ass ankle. You ran from being tested because you were on roids.
Now say it in a Mexican voice.
Wait, but you just said.
If I see Conor McGregor, I'm going to break his weak-ass ankle. You ran from being tested because you were on roids.
Say something, Anthony.
Say what?
I don't know, something. What do you make of all of this?
Oh, you want me to start the Conor shit first? Okay.
No.
It's a fair point. Listen, I don't think that Conor McGregor broke any rules, and I'm not going to say that he did. But we do know that he was taking substances that would typically be banned under our drug testing protocol to heal his broken leg. Does seem a bit weird that he's the one that wants to, but he never did. To his credit, he didn't take it in fight.
Yeah.
And then he got back in the testing pool and now he's been back. So he had to expect that that was coming though. He had to expect that that was coming.
To be fair, we don't know this. This is speculated. And right. When you look at physiques and stuff like that, of course, you see why
he's never denied it. Around that. And he said that he had a devastating leg injury and that he had to take some things to help heal it or whatever, and brought up Weidman and not being able to and whatever. But he had to have known that that was coming down the pipe, though. If he's ever going to give anyone any shit for taking banned substances, you got to know that that's coming back at you.
Well, that would be the first thing. That'd be the first thing I got to.
That would be the first thing I went to.
But in his defense, never tested positive in a competitive situation. Right. Bearing in mind, there's in-competition testing and there's out-of-competition testing. And he never tested positive in either of those situations. I'm not defending him. I'm the last man to defend. Took himself out of the testing pool. He was essentially retired for that period of time.
He's no more guilty of anything than Donald Cerrone is right now. Like, neither of them are fighting. Both of them, we're using some shit to feel better. And as of right now, neither one of them fought. So
Cerrone is a big fan of the steroids, though, isn't he? Have you seen what he's good. Been saying?
He looks like $1 million.
Because what did he do recently? Tore his bicep couldn't ride the bull. And he was like, then he got offered a fight or something. He's like, I ain't coming off this shit. I'm paraphrasing. I ain't coming off this shit. I feel 21 again.
Have you ever thought about getting on any of that stuff, Mike, as you're getting older?
No, I haven't. No, but I might give it a go. I've got let's have a look.
He looks good.
He does look thicker.
Yeah, he does look good. He looks
21, though. Yeah, he might need to get himself out to Turkey. You ever thought about that?
I think he did. Yeah. I think I got a friend that said he'll go with me. The only thing that's held me back from going is I haven't wanted to go alone.
So now you're going to Turkey. You're going to come back with a full head of hair.
Fuck yeah, I might.
Fucking this Anthony Smith. He wins one fight.
And now look at
who do you think you are? Look at you. You know what I mean? Calling out Alex Pereira, growing a full head of hair. We're going to have to change the artwork on the podcast.
Right, to an afro.
Going to have to be changed. Jesus Christ. The voice,
be more manly. He did actually go out to Turkey. His hair looked,
Full head of hair.
Nice.
Good for him. Do you know what? There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's modern science.
Oh, back to my question. Right. Have you thought about, I don't know, just because they say as people are getting older, their testosterone is lower, the peptides will help you heal a little bit, especially with your neck injuries and stuff that's going on there. You think it would help?
Yeah. No, I haven't. I am going to go do stem cells. I'm going to go down to Colombia soon. I've never messed with peptides, any of that stuff, but I do need to look.
I don't know anything about them. I just hear people that after they retire, get on them and it makes them feel better.
I had a what's it called? A conference with the stem cell people because I knew nothing about it. And it was absolutely fascinating, to be honest. I said, so from a layman's perspective, can you explain what stem cells are and what they do? And they take the cells from the umbilical cord of, you know, babies that never made it, shall we say. And he said, these cells have the ability to become human beings. They have everything that makes us a person. And if I'm butchering this and you're a fucking bio student or whatever, apologies. But this was my understanding. These cells have everything in them. Everything, the keys to life locked in them. And they inject them into you and it can regenerate cartilage, ligaments, all kinds of damaged tissue and all the rest of it inside your body. And that's what it does. And in South America, it's something like 500 times more effective and powerful than what the regulatory bodies will allow in the United States. So I'm fucking excited. I can't wait to get down there. Thank you to BioAccelerator. I'm off to Colombia, baby.
Let's go.
I'm coming back.
You need a travel, need a travel partner?
I'll have no stick man in the middle of my forehead. The reality is I'm just going to take loads of TRT, tons of Botox, do you know what I mean, and just invested heavily in face creams. What was I talking about, though? Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley got kind of dragged into this. Which I didn't really see why McGregor would go for Sean O'Malley.
He kind of caught a stray.
He caught a stray bullet. Now, granted, he did test positive once. And as I said, I think there was a fair explanation for that. And in the past, I was hesitant to believe that. But now I'm still not 100%. But, you know, and he was a massive fan of Conor McGregor.
Yeah, and now, that had to hurt.
And now he's not.
Yeah,
we have that video?
I wouldn't be either.
And Sean O'Malley is fighting at the Sphere, apparently, against Merab Dvalishvili.
Oh, that's a good one.
There's lots of segues and tangents and stuff like that, but no one's jumping on any of them. Oh, Jesus Christ. Speaking of next, I got to go see the doctor soon. Do we have anything that we need to get to, Harrington, in the notes before we wrap this one up? Bit of a shorter one. I got to go see the doctor.
Harrington?
No, so
thank you for saying it, Anthony.
Yeah, Harrington.
So I'm looking here, like, the, you know, as you said, there was rumors. Merab came out on Indian. It was like a UFC program in India, said that he is fighting Sean O'Malley at the Sphere. O'Malley took to Instagram. He took a photo of himself and said, I've been asking for that date at the Sphere. And Dana and Mick keep coming back and saying no. So as of right now, according to Sean O'Malley, that is not the plan. But Merab, I don't know. The guy seems to be manifesting quite a bit.
Yeah, but to be honest, that's going to be Mexican Independence Day. It doesn't really make sense. Merab's from Georgia. Sean O'Malley's American. You know, it's for the theme of that event, doesn't really fit. You need somebody like an Alexa Grasso and Valentina Shevchenko at the end of The Ultimate Fighter. That would be a perfect one. But if you're going to have O'Malley and Merab, they're going to be the main event for sure because Sean O'Malley. But I did feel his pain when he was saying, because he was like, fuck Conor McGregor. He was like, why don't they just say, did he say send the jet? I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I would watch it.
So he tweeted out, send the jet. And then he went on his podcast and was like, look, man, I was more sad than angry about anything. And I'm hoping, you know, Michael Chandler kicks his ass. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, that's crazy what Conor did to do. Well, yeah, fuck Conor. Yeah, fuck Conor, man. I seen a lot of people being like, damn, I bet Sugar's sad. Sugar always just talks nothing but great about Conor, and like, he's this fucking idol. And I'm like, and then he just went on a little tweet rant, fucking booger sugared up, talking shit. I flies out for a spar. I'm like, bro,
that'd be sick. Imagine Conor at the gym.
I was more sad than mad. I'm like, God.
Because it really was you're one of your favorites forever.
Oh, yeah. Now I cannot wait to see Michael Chandler absolutely just sleep him. I'm turning up. I'm changing up real quick. Fuck Conor.
Fuck Conor.
Hey, fair play. Hey, so UFC.
How fucking badass would it be if Conor sent the jet and O'Malley got on it? That'd be.
I mean,
That'd be but so why wouldn't you? Hard.
If McGregor sent a jet, let's just say Pereira was Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And he sent a jet. And you're the same weight class. They're not even the same weight class. Do you see a world where Sean O'Malley would not get on that jet? Because I don't.
Oh, you get on it to go fight. As long as there's some cameras, you get on that shit.
100%. You don't say no.
No.
It's a win-win for O'Malley.
For sure. How cool, though.
So, okay, let's go. We're going. All right, so we're going to do one question. Okay. Only one.
All right.
One question. And if you have any questions, the reason being I've got to get to a doctor's appointment, so apologies. And apologies, we didn't have it yesterday, the show, I mean. Anthony Smith was traveling and I was jet-lagged to the max, and it was very convenient to wait till today. But to be honest, it wouldn't have been right. I didn't want to do the show without you on it.
I'm glad you guys waited. I'm happy.
Yeah, nah, man. No. That would have just been weird. If you've got a question, please send it into bympod@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure to subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Positive review. It really helps out on those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 500 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code BYM14. Get a 2-week free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right. Today, our first and only question is going to be from Benji from Scotland.
Okay.
Hey guys, Benji here from a surprisingly sunny Scotland. So my question is, with the dust of UFC 300 well and truly settled, why do we not have one big event every year? Now I know there's some fantastic events throughout the whole year with UFC and I'm truly grateful for that. But if you think about the Football World Cup, sorry, soccer, the Olympics, you know, it's a 4-yearly event, there's a huge buzz around it. I mean, we look at the Super Bowl, for example. Why do we not have one huge event every single year? We managed to fit the card top to bottom with big, big stars. You know, there was no Conor McGregor, no Adesanya, no Jon Jones, no Hamzat. There was no big, big, big names, if you know what I mean. And we still managed to get the best card of all time. Why do we not do it every single year? It would really put the cherry on top of the cake in this amazing sport. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Big shout out to everyone. Keep up the good work, even you, Harrington.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for the question. And I'm sorry to say this, but they do put on multiple big events each year. There's one coming up. It's called International Fight Week. I think that started in 2009. It's every single year. There is the end of year pay-per-views that are generally a big deal. UFC 299 apparently was way better than UFC 300, and UFC 300 was a lot of shit. I get what he's saying because they are centennial events, so there was an extra hype and an extra buzz. But what would you say to that question, Anthony?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. But also, if you're talking about the type of card where you put two former champions versus each other in the first fight of the night, the problem with doing those kind of fights and those kind of cards, it's too hard to do. You do that every single year. Some of those guys on those cards only fight once or twice a year anyways. So then you're holding the guy back for the entire year, or you're just with the way that timelines and injuries, and it's too hard to do it like that. But to be fair, we kind of do International Fight Week every single year is a barn burner event. So yeah, but I get it. Like the 300 card doesn't happen all the time, but that's set into motion 6-7 months ahead of time. Like Cody Brundage knew about that fight for 4 months. It's just. Mm-hmm. It holds a lot of people back. It doesn't work out.
You're absolutely right in everything what you said. And like a perfect example, you know, some people said, and I'll choose my words carefully, oh, UFC 301's a bit of a letdown. I thought it was a great card and it certainly lived up to expectation. They could have taken multiple fights from UFC 300 and had it on 301. They could have had Charles Oliveira. They could have had Alex Pereira. They're both Brazilians and two of the biggest names in the sport. They could have had Davison Figueiredo on that. So I'm exemplifying your point. You know what I'm saying? If you do that, it kind of cannibalizes from other cards.
Other cards.
And that's why the 100, the 200, the 300, 4, 5, 6, they are big blockbuster, extra special events. But as I said at the top of the question, International Fight Week, end of the year. What other ones is there? The Super Bowl weekend is usually a
big one.
Memorial First Day
of the year is usually pretty big.
MSG every year.
Yeah,
MSG, Harrington with the win.
Oh, now the Mexican Independence Day.
I mean, there's usually a big London card too, or England card.
Manchester's coming up.
Yeah. Ooh, Paris is now also a yearly destination.
It's a destination. Oh,
It. Australia is usually a pretty big event.
Oh, I mean, Jesus Christ. It's getting ridiculous now. What else have we got? China.
Nebraska should be a yearly event.
Fucking UFC Nebraska. When's that going to happen?
I don't know. Hopefully soon. Probably never, though.
UFC Omaha.
UFC Omaha.
That's the show, everyone. We'll be back on Thursday. Thursday, we'll be back. We got Tatiana Suarez joining us for a little chit chat. We're also going to have another guest yet to be arranged, but I'll be in St. Louis, Missouri. Good fight card this weekend.
Real
St.
good.
Louis. You know, that's a big one.
That's a good one.
Anthony, congratulations again, buddy.
Thank you.
We're all proud of you. Enjoy the victory. Guys, see you Thursday.